Morning, church.
Morning.
Let's sing hymn number one, sing all three verses of the hymn. Number one.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who lived His life as the atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice.
Thank you.
Let us bow. Our Father who art in heaven, we are so grateful and so thankful, Father, for another day that the Lord has made. We're grateful and thankful that we can humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, that he can lift us up from all of our trials and our afflictions. We thank you, Father, that he is our sweet Savior. We thank you so much that he came to earth and he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Thanking you, Father, so much for his precious blood that cleansed mankind from all unrighteousness and make us whole. We are grateful and thankful, Father, that we can rejoice upon this day because, Lord, you open all eyes. You allowed all feet to touch the floor. And you prepared each and every precious soul to go about their way. And more important, Father, we thank you for another day of salvation, another invitation offered to all those in the world that on this day they can confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that they can be baptized for the remission of their sins and have their names added to the book of life. Father, we thank you that you enable everybody, every precious soul, to come here where we can fellowship one with another, and we can sing songs and we can make melody in our heart. Praying, Father, that all we say and do here on this day will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. And Lord, at this time, we remember all of the precious souls that we have on our prayer list. Many of them have different afflictions, different health issues, and different trials and tribulations that they face. And Lord, we know that it gives them comfort to know that they have you, that they can depend on, Lord, and that they will reach out to you, and that you will touch each and every precious soul with your healing hands. Just chow each and every one of them with your grace and your mercy. Lord, as we continue this worship service, we pray that all that we say and all that we do will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prepare our minds for the taking of the Lord's Supper this morning, if you would, please. In your hymn book, hymn number 959. We'll sing the first, second, fourth, and fifth verse of this hymn. We'll sing the fifth verse a little bit quicker than the first three. 959.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Tremble, tremble, tremble.
Last week, we had a very significant holiday in the birth of this nation, and that was Memorial Day, sometimes called Dedication Day. And in that day, we memorialized the death of a lot of the veterans that had died for this country on our behalf, that we may have the freedoms that we had. But even more than that, we have another memorial that we take care of each and every Sunday, first day of the week. And in this memorial, not only did our Lord and Savior freely and willingly give up His life on our behalf for the remission of our sins, but He did it in a way that we might remember Him and to memorialize Him. And in doing so, we can tell others of this memorial. See, as we celebrate this memorial, we can tell others of His kingdom that's coming and that we now live in now. It is to make sure that the freedom that we share is spread to the others, that they may have that same freedom. We celebrate this bread, which represented His body, that was beaten, that was bruised, that was punctured on that cross, the blood that flowed from that cross on our behalf. We celebrate the fruit of the vine, which represented His blood that flowed so freely that washes us clean from our sins. We celebrate the fact that He rose from the dead, having victory over death. What a wonderful memorial that we have. Let's bow in prayer and thank Him for the very fact that we have this memorial that we can celebrate each and every Sunday. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You that we're able to worship You. We're thankful that we're able to partake in this memorial dinner. As we do so, Father, we ask that we do it not in vain, but we do it willingly, sacrificially, Father, knowing that You are the example that we follow. We ask that as we do this now, we do it with our hearts open, wide, ready to remember Your Son's death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us give thanks for the cup. Lord, we are grateful. We're humble. And we're thankful for the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. We're grateful. We're thankful. And we're humble to partake of this fruit of the vine in His memory. For it is in His name we give You all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Has everyone had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper, the bread or the fruit of vine? If you have not been able to do so, please raise your hand now. We may be able to take care of you. Let's move on. This concludes the Lord's Supper. We now move on to our commandment to be able to give back to the Lord. This commandment is not done lightly, for it's to help spread the work in the kingdom of the Lord. In doing so, by helping the church spread the word, it takes resources. This was evident back in the first century as the Christians gave freely and abundantly, even to overflowing, so that the work of the Lord may be increased. And in doing so, they were able to preach to the world of that time. It is our duty now to be able to give back to the Lord freely, as they did in the first century, that we may indeed take care of our city and our countries and be able to spread the work of the kingdom. Let's give back as freely now and thank God for the opportunities to be able to do so. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that we're able to have the jobs that we do to be able to give back to you. We thank you for the resources that we have, the blessings that we have to be able to gather together in this place, to be able to preach the word to our neighbors, to our family, to our workers, to those that are around us. Father, we ask that as we do so, we speak boldly of God's truth to us, that they may have the freedoms that we do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
If you would please mark the hymn book to hymn number 889. 889 will be the song of invitation this morning. 889. And after marking that hymn, if you would please, turn your hymn book to hymn number 285. 285. We will sing all three verses of this hymn. I ask all those who can easily stand, please stand at this time. 285. And let us sing.
There's not a friend like the Lordly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. And you know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is gone. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet so great, is so meek and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And you know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark that his love can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. And you know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is gone. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. And you know Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
You may be seated.
The scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That'll be John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'll be reading from the King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The title this morning will be Looking at God's Grace Through the Eyes of Jesus. Brother Gilbert.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see all who are here. We are pleased that God has left us yet on the time side of life. He is allowing our golden moments to roll on a while longer. You know, there are many people who started out this day, but they would not see this day finish. We should all take time out of our busy schedules to thank God for this privilege He has given unto us. I just pray that you will not become angry with me for telling you the truth. Before Jesus mounted the clouds and winged his way back to the Father, he said, in no uncertain terms, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. St. John 8:31, 32, St. John 17 and 17. Those words were forthcoming. So then, we are primarily concerned with what God has to say relating to your eternal destiny as well as mine. And the only thing that I know about what God wants you to know is what is written in the Holy Bible. If you and I hear and believe those things that are written in the Holy Bible, needless to say, all of us will be children of God and His family, His kingdom, which is the church. Well, this morning I just want to say to all of our guests, all of our visitors, welcome. We here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ are always happy to receive visitors. We hope to get to know you, and we hope that you will visit whenever you have an opportunity. You know, it is great to be a Christian. I preached a sermon a while back about grace. And as I thought about it later, I never really defined grace the way I wanted to. Because I don't think there's really any one particular way to define grace. Grace is like a multifaceted diamond, you know, so many different sides. But I want today to go over a few, the ones that I've come across since that last lesson. One says, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Another one says, grace is God's love in action. It's the love of God shown to unlovely people. Grace is giving, God is giving us what we need and not just what we want. One that we are all familiar with that says, grace is God's unmerited favor. But here's one that I really enjoyed. It stuck out. It says, grace is the face God wears when he looks at my failures and he still responds in a gracious way. I'm going to repeat that one. Grace is the face God wears when he looks at my failures and he still responds in a gracious way. Today I want to look at grace through the eyes of Jesus. I believe that the doctrine of grace rises and falls upon Jesus Christ, not upon Peter, not upon Paul. But the interesting thing about this is Jesus never once used the word grace. And I was shocked when I found that out. Never once used it, that is, in the true, fullest Christian sense. But his life preached grace loudly. Yes. So if you will, open your books to our scripture text today. It's John chapter 1. As John looks back at the life of Jesus Christ, here are some things he says about Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says, the Word was God. In verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glories, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's verse 18. Now, obviously, this passage teaches us that Jesus is God, God becoming flesh. And it also says, he said that Jesus is the source of grace. Grace and truth have always been the nature of God. So if the Word came to reveal God, and the Word was full of grace and truth, that means the nature of God has always been grace and truth. You know, a lot of times when we read the Old Testament, we'll say, you know, God in the Old Testament was a God of wrath. And in the New Testament is a God of love. And somehow in between the two testaments, God got converted. No. He's always been a God of grace. John says in verse number 16, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Every blessing that you and I have received is because of the grace of God. And today, I want to look at that grace, the grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus never used that word, but in his actions, his dealings with people, you see nothing but grace. I want to use several stories today that you are all familiar with. We've gone over these stories before, but today just look at it through the eyes of Jesus. Let's start in John chapter 4 with verse number 4. It says now, he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, as tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now, his disciples had already gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, I won't go into a lot of detail, but we know that back then, women would normally come to the well to draw water at dawn or dusk, during the cooler hours of the day. That was a time for the women to get together, talk, exchange gossip, tell each other things. So why was this woman coming to the well at noon during the hottest time of the day? Well, you know why. This was an immoral woman. She was a very promiscuous woman. She had had five husbands, and the one she had now was not hers. She was shacking. For those of you who don't know what shacking is, that's living together and not married, all right? So she's now with a man who's not her husband. And the women in town would give her the cold shoulder. They would sneer at her. They would laugh at her. They would stare at her. They would talk about her. And she just didn't want to have to go through all of that. That's why she was coming at that odd hour. You see, this lady was one of those helpless, hapless, hopeless women in our society that is so easy to pass by and write it off. So easy to judge. Not only that, but this woman was full of hatred and prejudice. Jesus came to her and said, would you give me a drink? She said, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You know Jews and Samaritans don't associate with each other. But Jesus wasn't bothered by that. He shared with her living water. You know the story. But then the thing that stands out to me in this area is that in verse 25, For the first time in his ministry, Jesus comes straight out and tells somebody that he is the Messiah. He had never done that before, and he revealed it to this woman, a five-time divorcee Samaritan woman who's shacking with the man. He said, for the first time, I am the Messiah. This woman was so excited about what Jesus had done in her life, the fact that he would talk to her differently from the way other men talked with her. She went back and told the whole town, come see the man who told me everything that I had ever done. The Bible says the whole town came out. They wanted to hear. Yeah. You know, some said, well, let's go. This might be good. They came to see. Now, God's grace freed her. As I read that story, now think about what did God's grace rescue her from? Well, I believe it rescued her from her emptiness. I believe that the reason this woman went from man to man to man is that she was empty. And a lot of times we have these voids in our lives. They are spiritual voids, but we try to fill them with physical things. We try to fill them with drugs, alcohol, relationships, money. God's grace rescued her from this emptiness. They rescued her from her sordid past. Now, here is the thing that I like about God's grace, looking at it through the eyes of Jesus. God sees what people can be and not what they have made of themselves. The town looked at this woman. They saw a mess. But Jesus saw what God could make out of this woman. Let's look at another one of these stories. John chapter 8. You read these stories before. John chapter 8 and verse number 2. It says, and early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what say thou? And now they were trying to use this question to trap Jesus in order to have a basis for accusing him. Now, these were the religious elite. They were cold. They were brutal. They were judgmental. They had absolutely no compassion for this woman. And they didn't really care that much about the law of Moses, because from everything I've ever learned, it takes two to commit adultery, and where's the man? They didn't really care about that at all. And as I think about that poor woman, how does she feel? Can you see the humiliation? Can you see the shame? Can you see the feelings of hurt and the guilt in her? Now, this woman knew that it was wrong to commit adultery. And she even knew the consequences for doing so. But why did she do it? Well, I think I figured out the reason why. Okay, you say you want to know. All right. Here it is. Sometimes we just blow it. Sometimes we, even the best of us, just mess up royally, right? We don't always respond the way we should to God's word. That reminds me of a lady who bought a parrot. She'd always wanted to have a parrot to teach this parrot how to talk. Well, she did her very best to teach this parrot. But the parrot could only say, who is it? Who is it? The lady tried everything she knew to get the parrot to talk. The parrot still said, who is it? Who is it? Well, one day the lady had to go away for some chores. And while she was gone, the man from the meat market drove up in his truck, rang the doorbell. He had a delivery. And the parrot said, who is it? Who is it? And the man said, it's the butcher. The parrot said, "Who is it? Who is it?" He said, "It's the butcher." The parrot asked him again, "Who is it?" This went on back and forth for quite some time, and the man eventually fainted. He just passed out right there on the ground in front of the door. But when the lady pulled back up in the driveway, she's getting out of the car, she saw the man lying on the ground in front of the door. She said, "Oh my goodness, who is it?" The parrot said, "It's the butcher, it's the butcher." And you know, we don't always respond the way we should to God's word. But you know, this is what Jesus did. It shows the greatness of what Jesus did. It says, "But Jesus bent down as they were accusing this woman. Jesus began to write on the ground with his finger." And when they kept asking him, they say, "What do you want to do with her? What do you want to do with her?" And Jesus said, when they kept on questioning him, he said, "If any one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her." And then he stooped back down and started back to writing in the dirt. And those who heard him began to go away, one at a time. The older ones went away first, I guess because there's no sinner like an old sinner. Not sure. So only Jesus was left there with that woman, still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked this woman, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she says. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now. Leave your life of sin." Now it's interesting to me that the only one that was qualified to condemn her didn't. The only one that was confused, that could have done it, rather, he didn't do it. That's the kind of compassion that Jesus Christ had. He addressed her in verse number 10. He called her woman. You remember, this is the same word Jesus used when he was hanging on the cross to his mother. Remember? He called her woman. Right. Now, Jesus could have called her a bunch of other names, but he didn't. He didn't do that. Listen, this woman deserved justice, but what she needed was grace and mercy. I'm so glad that Jesus always offers us what we need and not what we deserve, aren't you? It's like the lady who had some pictures taken at a studio. She went by the photographer to get her pictures. She looked at them and she said, "These pictures don't do me justice." The man said, "Lady, you don't need justice, you need mercy." You know? It's a fact. So we have to be careful. And that's what we need. We need mercy. We don't need justice. We need mercy. We need God's grace in our lives. Now, let's be clear about something, though. Does God love adultery? Absolutely not. God hates adultery. He hates sin. God hates all sin. Nobody can hate sin as much as God. Question number two. Does God love people who commit adultery? Yes. Now, I know there's some of us in here saying, "Wait a minute now, watch what you say." But he loves the person. He hates the sin. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 8:39. By the way, what do you think happened to that woman? What do you think happened to that woman? I know this is speculation, but I think it was either one of two things. Either she went away saying, "I want absolutely nothing to do with the church. Look at those hypocrites. Look at how they treated me. I wouldn't dare go to a church. I have nothing to do with religion and nothing to do with God." Or she could have said, as she went away, "His grace reaches me. Yes, His grace reaches me and will last through eternity. He says, I'm under His control and I'm happy in my soul." We sing that song. I just believe that when we are faith with such unmitigated grace, it has to change your life. It has to. I believe God's grace freed her from her past, freed her to live a life pure for God. God's grace is really amazing. One last story. This is from Luke chapter 15, verse 1. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, eating with people back in the New Testament days mean that those were your people. You accepted them, you know. That's not necessarily true today, because some people will eat with anybody as long as they are paying for the food, right? But back in New Testament times, it showed that these were your people. This was your crowd. And the Pharisees taught, you know, you stay away from people like that. So Jesus tells these stories. He was telling them to show what the Father is like. So in verse number 11, Jesus continues. He says, a certain man had two sons. The youngest son said to his father, give me my share of the estate, the divided property between them. You all know the story. This young man came to his dad and said, I'm tired of living by your rules. I want to go. I want to explore life. I want to get out on my own. I'm tired of not being able to get the keys to the Cadillac on the weekend. I'm ready to spread my wings and do what I want to do. Well, the father said, okay, you can go. So this young man sets out for a distant country. And we all know that the grass is not greener on the other side. So he squandered his money. He lost his friends. And now he's living in a pig pen. Verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Here I am, starving to death. I'm going to set out. I'm going back to my father. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up, got his things together, went to his father. The grass was not greener on the other side. But what was it that brought this young man to his senses? It was the memory of his father. He remembered. He had a great dad. He had a gracious dad. He was going back home to his dad. You know, and I believe that all the way back home, on his mind, he was just thinking, you know, it would never be the same as it was before I left. I know it would never. It couldn't be the same way. Because in essence, he was saying when he left to his dad, if you were dead, I would get my inheritance, right? No way could things be like they were before I left home. Boy, I would just be lucky if he would just hire me as one of the hired men. So he got up, he packed up, he went back toward the home. And the Bible says in verse 20, while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed his son. Oh, he was glad to have his son back. Even though the son was the one who rebelled, the father never did. The father still loved his son. The father always loved his son. He was always looking for his son to come back. It wasn't the father that changed, it was the son. Sometimes, you know, we can feel so down and undeserving. We say, man, there is no way I could ever go back. No way it could ever be the same way it was. But God's grace says, you can come home. The father ran to his son, even though he didn't know why his son was coming home. He could have been coming back to ask for more money or coming back to just blame his father for his troubles. But he didn't. You know, that was his son. And why does God want us so much? Because he loves us. You know, because he loves us, and even through the muck and the mire and the dirt, he says we can come back. He says we can come back. That's called grace. He still loves us. We should respond to his grace. Well, this morning you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. Now, if you're already in the body, but have strayed away, been unfaithful, know you've done things you shouldn't have done, you need to come back. You need to be restored today. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
Thank you.